finished preaching, and so I got some of the same issues here. So bear with me a little bit tonight. You guys can turn your Bibles to the book of Philippians. Really, really thankful for this camp. You know, many, many things. Actually, we just got finished our Montana youth camp recently, and it's always a great boost to have a bunch of the Ohio young people come out for that. It really makes, it adds a, well, I see Roby back there. There is some uniqueness that the, that you bring and add some flavor, but it's really great. And just the fellowship, the really building unity of the young people and moving forward, it just creates great fellowship among congregations that we get to interact with, you know, across the nation. Just really thankful for that. And, you know, also just thankful for the hospitality of Lima and Wasion. There's a lot of great things about it, but I will say a lot of family camps that I go to, sometimes I like, I should probably, maybe I should go grab a little bit of my own food. And I haven't been tempted once. The food here has been outstanding. I really thankful for all the work that everybody puts in there on that. And one other thing that I just can't help but notice, and I hope you guys see as well, super encouraging to me. When you look the age range of this camp, it's like this life spectrum from all, and it's continuous. And that's really, really encouraging. Like, God is doing some work here, and I'm thankful for all the work that everybody's doing and contributing in that. You know, I think the kids have been amazing, and I like the little bit of extra challenges that they might be sometimes because of the noise they're making. That is a great challenge to have. And so I'm just thankful for the work that God's doing and everybody here, your participation in that. Today I actually want to talk about one of my favorite verses. I'm not sure that Marshall's going to be at the end of this on our ride home together. He's going to say, well, I don't know if you did exactly what I wanted you to. But there's enough liberty here in Christ that I think we can do this. Question for you. What's the first verse you ever memorized in the scripture? Okay, so we all have some different ones, right? One of the things we used to do at our dinner table sometimes in our family was sometimes we'd say, okay, tonight, instead of having our regular dinner prayer, we'll have everybody quote a verse. And so everybody would quote a verse, and then we're done with that, then we would sing a little different prayer for our song. But one of the verses that I know we always taught our kids first, and I think it was one of the ones that I first remember memorizing as a kid, Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? And so I want to work on that a little bit tonight. That's a verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, there are so many times that I see this verse quoted on like athletic t-shirts or athletic events. And I'll tell you, I'm 50 years old, and somehow, against my better judgment, I got talked into going and playing basketball out there today. And I can tell you, Philippians 4:13 has nothing to do with a 50-year-old being able to have a vertical that is the same as a teenager. I mean, it was amazing to me how bad I was. My brain did not expect me to be that bad. I'll just say that, okay? But Philippians 4:13 has nothing to do with how good of a basketball player I am. I went in with the right mindset, I'm telling you. That was not the problem. So, you know, what's this really about? Well, the context here, let's read this. I need to get to Philippians. Philippians, obviously, chapter 4. I want to read just verses 11 through 13. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do praise your glorious name. We are thankful, Father, for the work that you are doing, the work that you have considered us faithful and called us into service to be partners with you, Lord, in your ministry of reconciliation. We're thankful that you have entrusted to us, Father, the continuing building of this spiritual temple. We're thankful that this is not going to be built by our power, nor by our might, but Father, by your Spirit, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I ask that you be with me tonight as I preach your word, that I would communicate it clearly, that it would be consistent, Father, with the truth that you have revealed to us, and that all of us can, if we need to shift our mindset, we'd be willing to, if we're just a good reinforcer, Lord, and to really understand, because of our ability to trust in you completely, that we can do all things through Christ. It is in his name we pray. Amen. So, you know, I guess something I want you to consider with me. How many of you have inner monologue? Okay, inner monologue, you talk to yourself, you know, I got to go out the door, I got to go. I was absolutely shocked to find out this past year that not everybody has inner monologue. I don't know how you exist without it. I have absolutely, but some of my family members, most of my family members do, and a couple of them don't, and I was like, I don't understand that. It can't be true. Yeah, I mean, I do not know. Okay? How do you get through that door without talking to yourself and telling you, I don't know. So those of you who don't have it, I have had some of you try to explain it to me, and pardon the pun, conceptually, I think I might get it. But that being said, every single one of us has self-talk. Bob actually shared yesterday, I told him, man, that shotgun you gave, you preached my message for me. And you did it in 12 minutes, and I'm going to go a little longer than that. But every one of us does have self-talk. And I just want you to pause for a second and ask yourself honestly, what do you believe about yourself? When you look in front of the mirror, and I'm not talking this mirror right now, although this is the ultimate one, but when you look in front of the mirror and that person is staring back at you, what do you say about yourself? What do you think about yourself? What do you say about yourself throughout the day? You know, the tongue is incredibly powerful. Bob talked about this, and how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire, right? And so oftentimes I think about the tongue and the scriptural exhortation to guard this tongue, I oftentimes think about it in reference to how it impacts other people. But in James chapter 3, there are two illustrations that actually let you know a lot of this has to do with self-talk. The rudder of a ship sets the course of that. Your self-talk, my self-talk, sets the course of our life. I think about sometimes some of the school kids have got to work with kids all through various ages, and sometimes I'll hear terrible self-talk come out of their mouth. I'll say, hey, I don't ever want to hear you say that about yourself again. That's not true. And with my own kids, you know, just raising them. It's like, there's certain things. No, that's not true. I don't want that to come out of some of my good friends that are adults. And I say, as a friend, like, don't say that about yourself. Because the things that we say about ourselves dictates the course of our life. Self-talk, super, super important. And so the real question is, what does God say? What's God's talk about us? Because God is always right, isn't he? And so what does he say about us? To begin here, one of the biggest, absolute biggest killers in the world is the word can't. That was, we didn't really know four-letter words in our family. That was a four-letter word in our family. Can't. I mean, we did get, my poor brother got his mouth washed out with soap because of me being a tattletale. You know, I'll fess up to my part. You dummy. Hey, Mom, Matt just called me a dummy. You know, wash his mouth out with soap, and because he's not here to defend himself, say, he took a bite out of that bar of soap, said, I like it, Mom, I like it. That has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but if you know Matt, well, there's some self-talk there. He's a tough guy, okay? But can't. Can't was one of those words in our family we weren't allowed to say. And there were a few times that my dad explained to us that the word can't, what it really means is, I won't. I can't hang up my coat. Now, what you're really saying is, you won't hang up your coat. If there's a will, there's a way. I'll reiterate this a little bit later. There's nothing wrong with asking for help. There's nothing wrong with asking for additional resources, for trying to figure out how. But can't has to get off the table. The scripture is clear. This scripture is clear. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Again, the context, I'm just going to put in a general sense, is talking spiritual. This particularly in the realm of contentment. You know, I can't is crippling because you're beat before you even start. Proverbs 23:7, we've heard that a bunch this weekend, actually. As a man thinks within himself, so he is. We do act consistently with the way that we see ourselves. There was I enjoyed running when I was younger. Never believed that, trying to play basketball today. But I walked on to the track and cross country team at Montana State. And while I was there, actually, we had a distance runner on our team who was the national champion one out of all universities. The national champion one year in the 10,000 meters, approximately 6 miles, and the next year in the 5,000 meters, approximately 3 miles. Exceptional runner. And his name was Shannon Butler. Now, Shannon Butler did have he was more gifted, I would say, than I was, but probably than anybody else on our team. He was more gifted. But Shannon Butler also had an ability to push through pain beyond what any of the rest of us did. I actually saw him one time. He had gotten he'd slipped on the ice in Montana in the winter. It was during indoor track season, and he broke his jaw. That was the story. I think there might have been alcohol involved, and it wasn't exactly the way it happened. The story was he slipped on the ice running, broke his jaw. But regardless, I saw this guy with his jaw wired shut. You know how that is. I saw him run an indoor 420 mile in Bozeman, Montana, in a workout, you know, at 5,000 feet elevation, and he was hurting. I mean, you're trying to get air through that. The guy had an ability to push through pain that way like nobody I've ever seen. But, you know, why could he do that? Well, I'll tell you the simple thing about this guy. When it came to running, he didn't believe he could lose. The guy was, in that way, he was an absolute winner. I can't remember how many Big Sky Conference championships he won in different events, but he never lost one. Indoor, outdoor, every one he won. There is actually a picture in the Montana State. We have a what's called the Brick Breeden Field House where we play basketball. There's a picture of Shannon Butler crossing the finish line, and you see him looking back and laughing. Well, he had made a deal with a guy that from Northern Arizona. Long story short, anyways, this guy was the 1,500 meter champion. Shannon Butler was a 10,000 meter champion. They're both running the 5,000. And basically, this 1,500 meter guy said, if you let me stay with you to the last 200 meters, I will outsprint you and beat you. Shannon Butler says, okay. They did it. Shannon Butler's beating him, going across the finish line, looking back and laughing at him. The reason I bring this up is self-talk is incredibly powerful, because what you believe about yourself, you will do. And now, that being said, that inner picture can be good or bad. I've also known people that view themselves as losers. And losers find a way to self-sabotage. Losers find a way to lose. Everything can be going great. Got this great job. Everything's going smooth. And I'm living in Bozeman, so I'll pick an example. But this does not match up with my inner picture of myself. So I'm going to take the day off work today. I'm going to go ski Bridger Bowl because, man, the pow is good, right? The powder's nice. I'm going to go. And I'm not even going to call and tell anybody about it. This kind of stuff people do. Inner picture drives who we are. So the inner man of losers is governed by a single word, and that word is can't. The inner man of winners is governed by a single word, and that word is can. We know what God says about us. I want to reiterate something. Asking for help is okay. To follow through on I can, oftentimes we need to ask for help. Needing to learn is okay. But can't, get rid of that word from your vocabulary. It's a bad word. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, I think many of us have probably heard this poem before. I'm going to read it anyways because I like it. If you think you're beaten, you are. If you think you dare not, you don't. If you'd like to win but think you can't, it's almost a cinch you won't. If you think you'll lose, you've lost. For out in the world we find success begins with a fellow's will. It's all in the state of mind. If you think you're outclassed, you are. You've got to think high to rise. You've got to be sure of yourself before you can ever win the prize. Life's battles don't always go to the stronger or faster man, but sooner or later, the one who wins is the one who thinks they can. I think that's a good summary of that self-talk. Now, that being said, it's interesting to me. I think if we were all to quote Philippians 4:13 independently, and we just had a little voice track and we played them all back, we might all emphasize some different things. I can quote Philippians 4:13. I can emphasize, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or I can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Or I could say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I mean, multiple ways we can emphasize that. But I do want to key in on here, we do find that we need help. I can do all things is not the end of that verse. I want to say, and I don't know if any of you young people know this, but it seems like Steph Curry had some 4:13 stuff out. And I think it was based off Philippians 4:13, but it did not say through Christ. Okay? It just kind of left that out. But in terms of what God, where God is going with us, the in Christ is the most important part. Okay? Who do you want in your corner when you find that you need help? Okay? There is an absolute dependence upon God. Okay? I'm going to tie this in here with the context of contentment. That mindset, I can, to actually be able to have, I mean, CrossFitters can quote that verse, but they can't mean that verse the way that God wants us to mean that verse. Christian CrossFitters, I suppose, could. But, you know, God wants us to understand our dependence upon Him. What we want, what we need is a proven winner, a victor, somebody who actually can show us and teach us how to win. Let's go back to the book of Jeremiah for a second. Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah, I kind of get the impression here reading, well, it's more than an impression. Basically, Jeremiah says, Lord, I didn't know what I was getting into. You tricked me. And I don't think God is all about tricking people, but, you know, I think how many of us, even people told us, shared us the gospel and said, oh, got to count the cost. And this, but, you know, there is this, I think, this is awesome, but we hit the waters, and I just got a chance to immerse a couple here recently right before youth camp. And you hit those waters, and you come up, and you're a new creature, and I think there's this mentality that almost stuff's going to be easy. So we went out to dinner with him afterwards. I said, you know, my friend Kevin Simpson from Billings used to always say, the Lord gives you a new name, and that name is it's a great name. But the devil, Kevin always said, the devil gives you a new name too, and that name is Target. The devil comes after you. And so, you know, I think sometimes we can go in the water and we come out and we expect ourselves to be perfect. Like Mark was talking about all the 10, and we go to do that whatever figure skating thing and we fall flat on our face. It's like, try it again. And this is harder than we realized. Well, Jeremiah is kind of having a conversation with God. This is harder than I realized. And he says some great things. Verse 9, he says, but if I say, one of my favorite verses, I will not remember him or speak anymore in his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it in, and I cannot endure it. I like that. We can't keep our mouth shut if we want. It just burns in there, right? So Jeremiah says, I can't quit. I've heard, verse 10, the whispering of many, terror on every side. Denounce him. Yes, let us denounce him. All my trusted friends watching for my fall say, perhaps he will be deceived so that we may prevail against him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a dread champion. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. See, the key here is the Lord. The Lord is with me like a dread champion. Satan's record against mankind is very impressive. But there's one whom Satan has never beat. And he can't beat. And that is the same Christ who promises to strengthen us. He's with us like a dread champion. So let's go back to Philippians 3. I'm going to work on contentment just a little bit. If I were to ask you, are you content? It's kind of a, it might be a loaded question, right? Because sometimes the connotations of that word, you might say, well, does that mean I don't want to keep growing? Does that, you know, what does that mean? But true contentment here is talking about recognizing our reliance on God and that we are content with whatever the circumstances. Actually, there's so many messages. I'm going to try to do the Mike Hartman and mix up which guy said what. That was funny. But it happens, man. So I'm not even going to try. But, you know, somebody was talking about that. Oh, I just lost my... Wow. Wow, what a perfect example of how that happens. Where was I going with this? I'm shifting back to my other spot because I have no idea. Philippians 3, 7 and 8. Whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. So actually, I think both Steve Doty in his message and Benjith in his talked about circumstances. And so many times people are subject to circumstances. You know, if the circumstances are good, they're high. If circumstances are bad, they're low. And as Christians, what God's talking about here at contentment is we've given up everything. I count all things to be lost. Whatever we would have to give up in this life, it's worth it to gain Christ. Because we trust God that He's going to supply whatever we need to get us through. Sometimes I do best if I contrast a little bit. My son Caleb has a little French bulldog. Keep him company. We'll just put it that way. And Caleb was over for youth camp and brought his little French bulldog with him. And his name's Winston. And when Winston was at our house, Winston would go over the door, the glass sliding glass door, and he'd bark. And he went out. You go and you let Winston out. Winston would go out within a couple minutes. He'd bark at the sliding glass door and went in. When he's back in, go over the sliding glass door and bark and went out. You let him out. You get my point, right? That's not contentment. That's the opposite, right? Like, I don't know what I want, but I know it's not this. And so when God's telling us that we can be content, that we can do all things through Christ, it's saying no matter what the circumstances are, I actually have everything I want. Paul says, not that I speak in respect of want. Now, he did even suffer need sometimes. But he wasn't speaking from a thing of want. God's supply. He knew that God gave him everything that he could want. Yeah, what's the verse? The last part of it you hear a lot in the daily bread type devotionals. I like that, Steve. Yeah, that ain't going to get the job done, right? But he will give you the desires of your heart, right? But the first part of that verse is kind of important, isn't it? Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. If that's where your delight is, that's what you want. You want Christ. You will never be empty. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be satisfied. God is willing to give us everything that we could want or need in that way. You know, again, thinking about opposites. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 tells us that greed amounts to idolatry. Just thinking about this. Greed would be one of the things that seems opposite of contentment to me. So if I'm content with what God has given me, I'm not trying to get something. I'm not like Winston trying to get out and get whatever's on the other side or back. Okay, I'm content with what God's given to me. So idolatry, greed amounts to idolatry. I think contentment would actually be a natural overflow of worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Absolute trusting God. He gives us whatever it is that we need. You know, even when Paul was, I'm definitely a checklist guy. Got to get this done, get this done, get this done, get this done, get this done. And one of the things that was interesting to me is when I did have cancer, there was a stretch in there where my white blood cell count got real low, and, you know, went back when I was 29 years old. And, but I was in solitary, basically. I don't know what the right, I almost said solitary confinement. That's not right. That's what it felt like, right? But basically, you know, very limited visitors. And I think I was in there for 9 days. Like, you can't do anything. So how much work is getting done on the checklist? I ain't checking anything off the list. But can I be content in that situation? Is God in control? Am I there for a reason, and he knows that reason, even if I don't know what it is. Is God's will dependent on me being able to cross off whatever was on my checklist? I can be content. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God's in control. Whatever the circumstances are. I have another friend I want to talk about for a second. Any of you guys ever watched the old movie Conspiracy Theory? Mel Gibson. If you watched that movie, raise your hand. Okay. Anybody remember what the radical, crazy, nut jobs guy's name was? And the end, he kind of was right. But anybody remember that guy's name? That's an old movie. You wouldn't remember it. Fletcher. His name was Fletcher. That ring a bell? Okay. Fletcher, I actually knew the guy who that character was named after, was created after. Okay. Kid you not. The day that my son Matthew was born, 25 years ago, and a few, whatever, months. Anyways. But that night, I left the hospital, and I went over to a meeting of a guy that I had met, dropped into the church. He was a Church Christ guy from California, and he started meeting, and he gave a lesson, and it was entitled History from a Banker's Perspective. And it was interesting. Like, history can be really boring. This was interesting. And he went full Jay Wilson. Laid it out, man. Like, you know, the Rothschilds and what these guys are doing and the bankers. Well, except the difference between him and Jay Wilson. Actually, he is the one other guy I've met in my life that he could just, I don't know how he knew this stuff and could just pull it out. But very, very sharp man. But what this guy did, he actually lived in California, in Hollywood area, and he actually would teach. His business was to actually get the celebrities to say, instead of paying the IRS 40 or 50% or whatever, I'll teach you the loopholes they have set up within this history from a banker's perspective. Their own loopholes, I'll show you how it works. You do that, and you pay me 10%, and we'll call it a deal. Government doesn't like competition. The guy was right, and he knew his stuff. But he was that's who this guy, Fletcher, was. And, well, the long and the short of it is, it doesn't matter how right you are. If they want you, they're going to get you. And this guy ended up in the federal pen for conspiracy against the federal government. Now, the really cool thing is, his trust flew me out there twice to visit him while he was in the federal pen. And after he died, his trust flew me out to do his funeral. So that was kind of cool. Like, he did know how to do it. They just don't like competition. But here's the interesting thing. I went there, the first time I went to visit him, I had some other brethren from the Billings congregation, and I thought, man, you know, he needs our encouragement. So I'm really happy to get in and go visit this guy and spend time with him and talk good spiritual talk. And I will say this. In federal pen, it was, I think, medium security, so there was a little bit of freedom. But in the federal pen, I went there and I walked away so encouraged by this guy. This guy was content. He's in federal prison, but he is free. He's a Christian. His attitude was amazing. He was right with God. So it just made me think about that. You know, Steve said earlier, the Apostle Paul writes this letter from prison. About 62 AD, he's in prison, and he's writing this letter that he's content in all circumstances. He can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. And so why was Don Fletcher able to do that? Now, I will say, and then I wanted to make this point, actually, Don Fletcher did tell me. We got a chance to. He was kind of traditional Church of Christ, but we were able to share some of the new creation and those principles. And he said, "Your dad." When I actually was visiting, he said, "Your dad's one in a million." He said he took those things from the restoration and he took it to the next level. And he said, Luke, the reason I'm in here," he said, "this was my way I was trying to slay the dragon." He's trying to take out the beast, right? And he says, this way. But he said, if I had to do all over again, he said, I would have paid my taxes and I would have made disciples. So I think it's only fair. It's good to share that with you guys. But he's content. He trusted God completely. And it was encouragement to me to go see somebody in there with you right with God. Jeff's first message on peace. When you are at peace with God, you can be at peace with yourself. And you can be at peace with others. Even hardened criminals, you have the ability to do that, because if a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. That's the way we can be content in whatever those circumstances are. Last part. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Part of this contentment, I think about faith. And faith means, there are lots of different ways, I think about it, buying into God's plan. It's not the man who wills or the man who runs, right? It's not about, you know, works is, I got to try harder, I got to do this. It's not my will, it's not my running. It is about God who has mercy. But in the midst of Romans, it's really about, it's about God's dreams, God's plan. And faith is me buying into God's plan. In the scripture itself, this book, first and foremost, as it comes to us, it's about God, isn't it? You know, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. This book is about God. Now, that being said, from God's perspective, he makes sure to communicate to us that he cares about us individually. Now, I don't know where you're at. I don't know where your background is. But some of you, maybe, have you ever had difficulty praying to God? It's like you feel like you're talking to yourself, or like, why am I doing this? I will say, my parents became Christians a year before I was born, and so they always, I grew up understanding that God had a personal interest in me. But that's a hard thing for people to grasp. If you haven't thought of God, like, who cares about me? God cares about, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's you, right? God cares about you personally. God cares about your story. You know, I think about the parable, the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. God cares about you individually. So God wants us to pray to him. I forget who was talking about casting our anxiety upon him, because he cares for us. But God cares about you. You know, Genesis, I love reading. You know, the first of the year, I just go back and kind of run, follow that basic Bible calendar reading program and going through Genesis, and something that just hits me every single time. The patriarchs, they're faithful. But one thing that comes through really clear to me is their awareness that God is interested in their journey. Like, yes, they're following God's plan, but God cares about theirs. Let me just give you a couple of these. Genesis chapter 28. True contentment. Where does discontentment come from? Sometimes discontentment within myself. When I struggle with it, sometimes it's when I think somehow Luke Wilson is not getting what I deserve. My rights. Nobody cares about me. I sacrifice. I do this. You can play the game, right? So when's anybody going to care about me? When's anybody going to sacrifice for me? I'm making this a little extreme, but the mental things you go through sometimes. So the reality of it is, God's saying, I care about you. In Genesis chapter 28, just one example of this. In verse 20, you got Jacob. Jacob, after the Bethel, the whole angels ascending and descending on the ladder, Jacob's ladder. But in verse 20, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will keep me on this journey that I take and will give me food to eat and garments to wear, and I return to my father's house in safety, then the Lord will be my God. And this stone which I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that thou dost give me, I will surely give a tenth to thee. So you see, Jacob has this recognition that God cares about his personal journey. How about the story of Joseph? Let's just hit some verses really quick on this. Genesis chapter 30. I'm gonna rapid fire verses at you. So they're close together. You can do this one. Genesis 39, verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. Verse 3. Now his master saw that the Lord was with him, and how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. Verse 5. I just got this highlighted place. The Lord blessed the Egyptian's house on account of Joseph. Verse 20. And we know the way this story goes. Joseph ends up next. He's sold by his brothers. Okay? Now he's doing great in Potiphar's house. Now he ends up in prison. And look what happens in prison. Verse 21. The Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. Verse 23, the chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. Chapter 40, verse 23, yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph but forgot him. Man, what a downer. Hey, people will forget you. They'll forget about you. They'll forget the deals they made with you. So, the chief cupbearer forgot him, but God didn't, did he? God's still interested in this journey. 41, verse 46. And I'm just jumping the story here. Now, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. 13 years on this journey. And even though, in any given time, could Joseph have suffered discontentment? But he knew, but God, the story is God was with him. He was, everything that was going on here was going on for a particular reason. And Joseph, at least later, he has this figured out in chapter 45. We could keep doing this. Okay, I'm just giving this example. But chapter 45, verse 5, he tells his brothers, now do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. God's in control of the story. God cares about your story. When we commit to doing God's plan, when we commit to building God's house, he builds our house. When we commit to leave our stuff, our father, our mother, to follow Christ, then he's with us on that journey. We can be content, brother, whatever the circumstances are. I don't know what's coming in this country, but it doesn't look good. We just heard it. You know, it's going to be hate speech to say that homosexuality is a sin. Flat out. You know, the games, they're good at the games. We might go as political. Jesus went as a political prisoner. That's the way they got it. I don't know how they will, but they will. Some of us in our lifetime are going to be in prison conditions. And they might not be medium security. Federal pen. Might be worse than that, but does it matter? Apostle Paul, I've learned to be content. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God cares about our story. This verse, I know Mr. J. Wilson just stumbled onto this the other night, but this verse was already here. What's the next verse say? Go therefore all the nations, make disciples. Go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, worshiping the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you. Always. Even to the end. We have a mission, don't we? God's laid that mission out in front of us. We buy into that mission. And you know what Jesus promises? I'm with you on that journey. Whatever the circumstances are, right? When things are going well, you got what you need, great. When you don't have what you need, great. The Lord's with you on this journey. And so the source of true contentment really comes from absolute trust in God. Our responsibility to buy into His plan. Sometimes Jesus says, go. And like Jonah, sometimes we say, no, that ain't going to work so well. But He says, go, and we buy into that plan, and we go. He says, I'm with you. And we can be content, whatever the circumstances are. Now, brethren, I'll just close up here. But I know the way the mind works. Doubts like to creep in at the most inopportune times. I am not a golfer. I've golfed a few times. It's interesting. I can actually get a decent shot time to time. But I can guarantee you, pretty much, if I'm on a water hole, I'm not going to have a good shot. Why is that? Not preaching too much on that, but all I see is the water. I'm trying to not see the water, but that's where it goes. I'm not a great bowler either, but I like to bowl. I used to do that with the youth group a little back when I was younger. I'd probably hurt my hip now doing that. But, you know, I'd start doing good on bowling, start getting a few strikes in a row, and all these weird little doubts, questions, creep. Where does that come from? I don't know. But that's the way the mind works. So God says, I can do all things. God is telling us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But sometimes that mind wants to let those can'ts in. I don't know what some of those are that you have to be able to push away. Sometimes maybe, you know, Ben just shared with us a job. Sometimes some of us, we've struggled to ever be disciplined in our life, to get a job and hold the job. I don't know if I can do this. God says you can. I had a young guy I met with recently and just really struggling already with addiction, young age. He's like, I don't know if I can. You can. Through Christ, strengthens you. I don't know if I can have the courage to talk to my coworker, my neighbor. I don't know if I, you can. Those can'ts. We got to turn around and come back and believe what God says about who we are. I don't know if I can overcome sin. I mean, that seems like I can through Christ who strengthens me. You know, we got a mission. We got a race. Every one of us. And God gives us everything we need. We can be totally dependent on Him. He's true to His word. He's with us on this journey. And I look forward, brethren, to that day when I get to cross that finish line and we can look back and laugh at that adversary. The one who tried to fill our minds with the can'ts. I can. You can. Through Christ who strengthens me. Let's depend on Him and get the job done. Thank you.